Well, last Sunday, it was May 2nd, the United Church of God Council of, or the General Conference of Elders, met for its annual meeting. This is when all the elders in the United Church of God meet once a year and decide on matters, business matters in the church. We also hear reports from the men who are leading the various operations in the church. And one of those reports came from Peter Eddington. I believe we're all familiar with Mr. Eddington. He's the operations manager for media and communications services. And he reported on our efforts to proclaim the gospel to the world. And I'm going to use his message as like a springboard for what I will be talking about here. Mr. Eddington spoke to the elders of the United Church of God last Sunday for about 20 minutes. He first of all thanked God for the blessing of preaching the gospel that has been entrusted to us. And he also explained some of the challenges that we face in doing this work. He said, "Our message is not popular, even among those who say they are Christians." And he wondered how long before our teachings receive the label of hate speech. Eventually, he said, our opposition to the end time beast power will shut us down completely. And I agree with that statement, that eventually we are going to find so much opposition to the preaching of the gospel that we will not be able to do it the way we are doing it now. Nevertheless, as Mr. Eddington pointed out, even with the challenging circumstances that we face, we do see results from the preaching of the gospel. Our message is reaching millions of people every year. Our outreach efforts are having an effect through the internet, print, and broadcast medias. Mr. Eddington said that Christ entrusted his disciples with the responsibility to preach the gospel. And in the intervening time between Christ's resurrection and the Feast of Pentecost, he appeared several times to his disciples, as we read about in the Gospels. And this is the time that he gave to them what we call the Great Commission, where he entrusted us to speak or teach his word to the world. He said to them, and this is from Mark 16, verse 15, a verse we're all familiar with, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." God wants all men to hear this message and decide what they are going to do, to make a decision when they receive this information. For he desires, as we know, all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's 1 Timothy 2, verse 4. That is his desire, that all men hear this gospel, to be saved by the knowledge of the truth. So the title of my sermon today is "Go into all the world," taken from Mark 16, verse 15. "Go into all the world," Christ said. And I want to stir you today, brethren, to more earnestly pray and desire the success of our efforts to preach this gospel to the world. I want you to be more stirred to do that, because we are in perilous times. We certainly are. Here is the stated mission of the United Church of God. So this is our mission statement: to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God in all the world, and make disciples in all nations and care for those disciples. That's our mission. This gospel, Jesus said, is to go into the world before the time of the end, into all the world. And the verse we so often turn to show that is Matthew 24, in Matthew 24. So if you would open your Bibles with me today to Matthew 24, And let's go there to Christ's Olivet Prophecies, where he's talking about the last days and what will come to pass at that time. Are we in the last days? I don't think we have any arguments in this room that the time of the end is certainly near. So Matthew 24, and we'll start in verse 12 and read a few verses here. In verse 12, Christ said, "Because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will wax cold." So I'll ask you, do we see lawlessness abounding in the world today? And what is lawlessness? Well, sin is lawlessness by the definition from the Bible. Sin is lawlessness, or sin is the breaking of the law. Do we see that in our world today? It's everywhere, of course. And do we see the love of many growing cold? Because sin is abounding in this world. I think we have to say, yes, we do. We see that. And in this day, in this time, he tells us in verse 13, he who endures to the end through all of this trouble will be saved. And that enduring means that we continually do the work of God that is for us personally, that we stay close to God, that we stay close to the brethren, that we make the efforts every day to endure to the very end. And then, as verse 14 says, this is the verse we so often go to, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. This is God's will, that it goes to the nations of the world. All men must hear. And therefore, we must expend our efforts, really great efforts, to preach this gospel, because we are the human agents of his message. We are like what Paul often referred to in his epistles, his fellow workers or fellow laborers in the gospel. That's what we are, because we're supporting the efforts and we're exemplifying the efforts of the gospel in our lives. Each one of us as a light to the world, showing what the gospel does in our lives, represent God in this world today. Go into all the world, said Jesus Christ. And we are. With the means we have available, this is what we are doing. But the response is small. The response to our message is hardly noticed. Most people probably have never heard of us before. But we're out there doing the work and sowing the seeds as we have been commanded to do. Well, why is it that the world is not responding to our message? Why is that? It's because they do not want to hear the truth. But does that change our mission because the world does not want to hear what we preach? That doesn't change our mission at all. We still have to go to the work, do the work. We still have to put our hand on that plow every day and plow those fields, if you will, and sow the seeds of the gospel. And Jesus Christ said, this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. That's from John 3, verse 19. Men love darkness rather than light. They don't want to hear the light or be in the light because their deeds are evil. Nevertheless, we must preach. God commands us to do it. And this is what Paul charged his young protege Timothy. It's over in 2 Timothy 4, if you would come with me there to 2 Timothy 4. And let's read what Paul charged Timothy with to preach the gospel. It's in verse 1, we'll start, 2 Timothy 4. He says, I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a serious business. Who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. And preaching the gospel is the work of the church that we must always do. No matter what the circumstances are, we must be about our Father's business. Let's go to Acts chapter 2 for a moment. And this is the day, Pentecost, as it's talking about here, that we're going to celebrate next Sunday. The day that this gospel began to go out powerfully to the world. We know the story very well. It's very inspiring to read how the Spirit of God has been poured out on this day, manifested in the lives of the disciples, and they began powerfully to preach on that day. Verse 14, we'll read here a couple of verses. Peter, standing up with the 11 after this manifestation of this power of God on them is seen, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea, and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and heed my words." He tells them what they are seeing is the Spirit of God being poured out on men. As he says in verse 16, "This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel." Verse 17, "And it shall come to pass," Joel wrote, and Peter is quoting it, "It shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my Spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." What a beautiful prophecy that is. And it's yet to be fulfilled completely. Because at one day that is coming, the whole earth will have the knowledge of God. It will be covering the earth like waters cover the sea. The knowledge of God and the Spirit of God and the kingdom of God. But this is just the beginning of that Spirit being poured out on men. And now today, we have a portion of that Spirit in us. This is that Spirit that Jesus told his disciples at his last Passover that would come. He said to them, "The Spirit of truth that the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." That's John 14, verse 17. The Spirit of truth that will be with them and in them. And now in us, that Spirit. And this is how we are going to do the work of God, by the Spirit and the power of God. It is the Spirit of God that will guide the church. And by that Spirit of God leading each one of us in his church, he does the work through us. I'm urging you, brethren, to pray earnestly for that Spirit to guide the efforts of the church as we proclaim the gospel to the world. Make this a part of your prayers. I know we do pray for that, but make it more earnestly a part of your prayers because of the days that we are in. The world needs to hear this message. Pray for God's Spirit to lead his church as we do this work. This is the same thing that Paul asked the Colossians. Let's look over in Colossians chapter 4 and see where he writes to them in Colossians chapter 4, asking them to pray for him and the preaching of the gospel. Colossians 4 and verse 3. Verse 3 of Colossians 4, as he says, first of all, in verse 2, continue earnestly in prayer. Keep praying. And meanwhile, also, verse 3 then, praying for us that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. So it is the Spirit that will open the doors and allow that word to go out. That's what we need to pray for, as Paul is asking us to, asking the Colossians to do. I'm saying the same thing, brother. Make that a part of your prayers. It is the Spirit that will lead and open the doors. Revelation chapter 3 is a familiar verse here. Revelation 3, we'll look at one verse where Jesus Christ, the immortal, resurrected Jesus Christ, the heavenly Jesus Christ, is speaking to his church through the Apostle John. And this, as we know, is the message to the seven churches. And to the church in Philadelphia, he says this in verse 8 of Revelation 3, I know your works. I know your works. But we can't hide from God. He sees our works. And he sees that their works were good. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it, for you have a little strength. And you have kept my word, and you have not denied my name. With the little strength that you have, kept his word. And that's what we must do. Even though we're small, scattered, we must keep his word. And don't deny him, but continue to sow the seeds of his word. That seed needs to be in the world. God wants it there. He wants it scattered everywhere, so that when the time is right, it will germinate and bring forth some growth. And so then God can do the calling, because the word has been sown. Each one of us has a part in the effectiveness of our message going to the world. Each of us, as Christ said, must be like lights in the world. This is in Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount, where he's telling his disciples, telling us that we need to let our light shine. We've received this truth, this word of God, and now it's dwelling and living in us, and we have to reflect the light of the gospel in our lives. This is what he says, as he says in verse 14, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Then verse 15, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket. Or, you know, take that lamp and that light, that candle, and then cover it up. It'll go out. It'll have no effect. But you put it up somewhere where it can be seen and give light. You are the light of the world. Neither do they put a lamp under a basket, but they put it on a lampstand up high, and it gives light to all those who are in the house. So let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. When men see the gospel changing our lives, they'll see how it can change theirs. As representatives of the kingdom that is to come, we must act like citizens of it, because we represent the gospel of the kingdom of God. And the impact of our message, the effectiveness of our message, depends on our personal examples. And as Mr. Durant said in his message, we're imperfect. We have weaknesses. God knows what those are. As Jesus said to the Apostle Paul, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Yes, God can work through us, even though we are weak in the flesh. But as we look to him and do his will, and love him and love the brethren and reflect the light of the gospel in our lives, he can work through us. He said in another place, Jesus said, by this will all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. That's John 13, verse 35. That's how they will know that you're Christ's disciples. Paul wrote that if we have all knowledge and understanding, None of it does any good. If we're not loving God and loving the brethren, it does no good. Being poor examples in our lives does damage to the credibility of the church. And so no matter how much we preach the gospel, our example as Christians is the litmus test of our message. Though we're all responsible for the effectiveness of our message, for the effectiveness of the gospel. Will people respond to it? Yes, they will. And when they do, they'll come to where we are. They'll come to where the church is. When they see our example, and when they know that we are loving God and loving our brethren, they will know that we are obeying God's commandments with all of our hearts. And by that, all men will know that we are His disciples. We need the Spirit of God in our lives to make our message effective. And we will have that Spirit if we are truly obeying God, loving Him with all of our mind, strength, and soul, and loving our brother. And each of us has a role to play. It begins with us. It really does. Mr. Eddington, in his message to the elders, pointed out some of the challenges we face in doing the publishing of the gospel. I've enumerated some of those already. Another one he mentioned is that some Christian radio broadcast networks insist that we acknowledge belief in the Trinity doctrine if they will air our programs. And so if we do not sign off, literally sign off, that we acknowledge the Trinity doctrine, they won't air our programs. Those are some Christian radio networks. Additionally, he pointed out that in some countries like Canada, Australia, the United Kingdom, some of our articles on homosexuality and false religion would bring lawsuits for violating newly enacted vilification laws. So we cannot publish certain articles in those countries, Canada, Australia, United Kingdom, that deal with homosexuality or false religion, because we could be sued. If they wanted to know what we believe, it's still on our website, but we cannot actively put those articles in print or broadcast them over the media, those types of articles in those countries. So we have to be wise. Another issue that he brought up is the fact that Google, this big search engine Google, the place we always go to for the answers, right? Google is labeling some of our ads, labeling our ads for the Beyond Today magazine, for the Beyond Today program, labeling those ads as approved but limited because of religious belief and personalized advertising. So Google is already flagging some of our ads. Does the world want to hear our message of warning? Well, Jesus Christ told us also in Matthew 24, if you want to go back there to Matthew 24, He told us what the world's response would be in the last days to our message. It's in verse 37 of Matthew 24. And as in the days of Noah, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. No one except Noah's own family heeded him. And the scripture calls Noah a preacher of righteousness. He was preaching through his actions, through his words, the gospel. Did the world hear? The world hear? No. Is the world hearing us today? For the most part, no. Where is faith today? Where is faith? It's certainly lacking in the world. Few answer the call because of unbelief. We see a very low response. This is truly an unbelieving age. We are living in a faithless generation. And if you think about it, it's not so different from what it's always been. All through the history of mankind, not many have responded to the truth. It's not so much different as it is today. In his address, Mr. Eddington also pointed to an opinion piece that was recently published by Victor Davis Hanson. Victor Davis Hanson is a classicist and historian at the Hoover Institution of Stanford University. And last month, he published an article that saw fairly widespread publication on the internet. Mr. Hanson wrote an article titled, Today's 10 Rules in America. And this was published on April 2nd of last month, April 2nd. This was rule number 10. Wokeness is the new religion, growing faster and larger than Christianity. Its priesthood outnumbers the clergy, the Christian clergy, and exercises far more power. Silicon Valley is the new Vatican, and Amazon, Apple, Facebook, Google, and Twitter are the new gospels. So you've probably heard of the term wokeness, or if someone is woke. What does that mean? Well, from the Cambridge Online Dictionary, wokeness is a state of being aware, especially of social problems such as racism and inequality. It's being aware of injustices in our world today, of racism, inequality. Not wrong to be aware of those things. Not wrong to look for a solution to those things. But social media, Amazon, Apple, Facebook, Google, Twitter, is directing the dialogue in America and the world toward a dialogue of wokeness or social justice, achieving social justice by man's means. Is this going to work? We know that the solution to all the problems in the world is the one that is coming. We're preaching a gospel to solve all of the problems. Social injustice, racial inequality, all of it will be solved by God, not by man. Mankind is looking to himself to solve the problems in the world. And as the proverb says, Proverbs 14, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. That's Proverbs 14, verse 12. Mankind clearly needs help. We clearly have issues, but it will not listen to God to solve its problems. Mankind chooses its own way to solve the problems in the world. And so we're faced with a generation in today's world that will not listen to God because the solutions to mankind's problems are mankind. They don't want to hear the gospel. But for the world to hear, God must open the door. And I'm afraid, brethren, that that is going to happen because of increasing tribulation. Then people will start to look for answers when things are falling apart. I'm afraid this is what we will see. This is how I think we can agree, this is how more people will come awake to the message that we are preaching. What we must do now is plant the seed that will germinate and grow when the time is right. In 31 AD, God set an open door before the church. On the day of Pentecost, that door was opened. And the Spirit of God was poured out, and many responded to the initial preaching of the gospel, and signs and wonders followed it. It was a miraculous day, and it's so inspiring to read the accounts in the book of Acts. But sadly, that church that was once turning the world upside down went underground. As false doctrine entered in, and people began to fall away. And today, that church is facing challenges on every side to tell the truth of God's word. And this was what Mr. Eddington was pointing out. We have a lot of challenges, but still, we are having success. We are reaching millions of people. Today, the internet, as he pointed out, penetrates 59% of the world. 59% of the world is connected to the internet. In 1995, when the United Church of God began, that number was 1%. Now it's 59%, and it's growing. And our UCG.org website has over 12 million unique visitors every year. 12 million unique visitors every year. And as Mr. Eddington also pointed out, we are seeing success with our online video streaming. And this is, as he said, a new way of broadcasting. Rather than cable and television, video streaming is taking over as a new way of broadcasting, and we are seeing tremendous growth in that area. Although it's still small numbers, but the growth rate is very high. So we are having some success. The word is getting out there. And as the tribulation draws nearer, we will see many warning signs of the trouble to come. There will be many in the last days that will wake up and look for the answers and want to know the truth. They will respond to the gospel. And this last year, as Mr. Shaby, our church treasurer, also presented, we have seen an increase, an unexpected increase in our church's income. You know, it wasn't a great amount by worldly standards, but in the last year, the United Church of God added $500,000 into its bank accounts. And we have over $6 million in the bank now, and we have an income of roughly $20 million every year. Now, those are sound like big numbers to us personally, but they're very small in the scale of the businesses and operations and churches of this world, but they're big for us. I believe that the increase that we are seeing is coming because people are looking for answers, and we're providing those answers. I believe our message is what more and more people will be looking for. There's a verse in a couple verses in Revelation I'd like to refer to here. Revelation 14, speaking of the time of the end, and the world being engulfed by a great tribulation at that time. Will our message be effective in that day? Revelation 14 and verse 6. John is seeing this in vision. I saw another angel, verse 6, flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, and tongue, and people. And this is representing a great outpouring of the gospel to the entire world. Saying, verse 7, with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him. For the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water. This is a great outpouring in the last days of the power of God's Spirit to preach the gospel. And we're a small church now, brethren. And not many are responding to our message. But if we live the gospel, if we continue to preach the gospel, the world will take notice when the time comes. Let's go over to a verse in 1 Corinthians 16. 1 Corinthians 16. This is Paul writing to the Corinthians. And he tells them in verse 9, a great and effective door has been opened to me. And there are many adversaries. And just as Mr. Eddington is pointing out, there are many adversaries, many obstacles to us doing this work of preaching the gospel. But God is going to open that door. We need to be living this gospel and embracing the mission of this church to preach it. The mission statement that I gave earlier, again, to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God in all the world, and to make disciples in all nations and to care for those disciples. That's the mission we need to embrace. We are doing the best we can now, the church is, with its limited resources, but we're having an effect. Let's go to one final scripture in Titus chapter 2. If you would come over with me to Titus chapter 2. The grace of God has appeared to us. This is what Paul's writing about. Verse 11 of Titus 2. And it is our responsibility to preach that grace, preach of that grace to the world. For the grace of God, verse 11 of Titus 2, that brings salvation, has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is enduring to the end, looking for that hope, who gave himself, Jesus Christ, for us, gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous of good works, which includes fulfilling that command that has been given to preach the gospel to the world. And God is going to open the doors to preach. When we do our job, his word will do its work. Well, let's be more fervent in our prayers for the leading of the Spirit of God on this work to preach this gospel. Remember that in your prayers and be yourselves a living example of what the gospel does to change lives. The effectiveness of our message depends on you. We're all responsible to represent the gospel of Jesus Christ in our lives. Mr. Eddington believes that we are now sowing seeds of God's words that will germinate and bear fruit at the appropriate time that God allows. He asked us to pray that our message be effective at going into all the world with the wonderful news of the gospel. If God is going to bless our efforts to preach the gospel to the world, it begins with each of us. So therefore, brethren, go into all the world and preach the gospel.